Hey friends, mark your calendars. The Intentional Motherhood Retreat is coming up October 23rd through 25th in Portland, Oregon. It's a meaningful few days to slow down, connect, and refocus on what matters most in your motherhood journey. Also, some exciting news, Intentional Fatherhood has officially launched on all podcast platforms, including YouTube. So go subscribe, check out the first few episodes, and share it with all the fathers in your life. For more details and registration info for the Motherhood Retreat, you can go to intentionalparents.org, or you can go check out our new website for fathers, intentionalfatherhood.org. Welcome to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Intentional exists to help parents in their God-given task to raise passionate Jesus followers. We exist to bring hope, help, and healing to families. Each week, we will talk about anything from parenting, marriage, lifestyle, and what it looks like to follow Jesus in our time. Intentional is made up of Phil and Diane Comer and Brooke and Elizabeth Moser. I am Brooke, and the funny thing is, we are all family. Elizabeth is Phil and Diane's daughter, so we're a family figuring this thing out together. We hope this podcast feels like you're sitting with us in our home talking about how to do this thing called life together. Elizabeth and I are your hosts. Let's get into this week's podcast. All right. Welcome back to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Today, it's me and Phil.
That's right.
That's right. The ladies aren't here, and I know many of you are sad about that.
The beauty is gone from this podcast.
It is an uglier podcast today, and that's why I'm thankful it's an audio podcast. But you're very handsome, by the way. Actually, we need to talk about this. Yesterday was a big moment. Why was yesterday a big moment for you, Phil?
I don't know.
Phil's birthday was yesterday.
Yes, it was.
Am I permitted to share how old
you are? Oh, yeah, but you were telling me I was that old before I even turned it, so yeah.
Phil yesterday turned 73, so please send happy birthdays over Instagram.
And I swam 73 laps.
Actually, why don't you tell us really quick before we get into today, tell us about your birthday ritual. I think it's beautiful and it's really fun.
Yeah, I don't know where I got the idea or when I started doing it a while back, but on my birthday... I swim the number of laps of my age. So yes. Yesterday was 73. Actually, I had to swim an extra one to get back. But anyway, what I do is as I'm swimming, mm-hmm. I think of that particular year of my life. It's really simple. When I'm on lap 23, that was 1973 because I was born in 1950. So it's really easy.
Yeah,
that's the year I got baptized on July 15th, and it was life changing. And I believe baptism is so important. There's something mystical and real that happens when, because mm-hmm. you don't do that until you're fully surrendered, mm-hmm. which we're going to talk about today, I think,
yes.
in our podcast. But and then I thank God for at least one thing of that year. So obviously, when Elizabeth was born, yeah. it was 1985, that was lap 35. And I thank yeah. God for Elizabeth. And I just go through that. And of course, my first few years, I don't have memories, except I had beautiful, loving parents that gave me this, what psychologists call a secure attachment. So I'm thanking God for that, you know, yeah. there's a few things I know about those years from my parents. And then there's years of trial where I thank God for getting me through the trial. But mostly the whole point is to celebrate the goodness of God over a lifetime. And so it's, I'm not a contemplative like John Mark or like Diane, but I do have... once a year at least. I call it worshipful contemplative lap swimming. So yeah, I did that yesterday.
It's a new spiritual discipline, I yeah. think. But the process, whether it's swimming or anything else, what a beautiful,
yeah.
What a beautiful way to express gratitude for life. And I love that. I encourage anyone listening to take that. I haven't actually taken that up. I think I might even try it this year. It's a really good idea. So,
well, I was able to do it because you were doing something that I didn't have to do. You went all the way over to Portland and got all the rest of the stuff from our old storage unit and got it over to Bend. We are fully located and based in Bend now.
We're in Bend, yes. So before we get into today, I also wanted to just say thank you to everyone who's rated and subscribed to the podcast. If you haven't had a chance to do that, would you just take a second on any platform, whether it's Spotify or Apple Music
or Apple Podcast. That's not Apple Music, obviously. But if you would just like rate for a second and even leave a comment, that means the world to us. It's helpful with the algorithm, which we're all in. So thank you for doing that. And then we also want to let you know about something cool that maybe you don't fully know. So we want to take a second, Phil and I, because we get to run this nonprofit together, which is great. Intentional is a nonprofit, and we get to run this together. And we wanted to just take a second to say thank you to all of our legacy builders.
Yes.
All these incredible people who support us in a ongoing way financially for helping this content get out into the world. You know, and we're so grateful for it. One of the things I wanted to also say is, you know, one of our best gifts that we can give the world is that we don't have to charge for this type of stuff. That, you know, the podcast is coming to you because of generous people who are giving financially to help this go. So I just wanted to first, before we say anything else, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who's done that, whether that's monthly or ongoing. We just so appreciate that, don't we, Phil?
Yeah, we couldn't do what we do without our partners.
Yeah.
And it is a partnership. So, yes. You know, when you're listening to a podcast like this and you're realizing it's going out to thousands of people, those of you who support us, thank you so, so much. As Brooke said, sometimes it's monthly, other people give periodically. And we are so grateful that it enables us to fully focus on bringing biblical hope and practical help to mothers and fathers, which is going to carry on for generations. So it's actually a legacy ministry, which, Brooks, you're the one that came up with Legacy Builders. And I like that because when we were first launching Intentional, there was an older brother in Christ, John Schaaf, who's with Jesus now. His wife is still living in Portland and doing well. But he came to all of our prayer meetings. So we were so determined to not do anything in the flesh, to really be doing it in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So every conference we were going to go teach at, we had a prayer meeting at our house, and John came to all of them. And he had this British accent, and then one day he said, "Lord, we thank you that this is a legacy ministry." And after the prayer meeting, I said, "Hey, what did you mean by that, John?" He goes, "Well, it's going to outlive you. What you're doing right now, when the parents actually raise their kids to follow the way of Jesus, and then they turn around and raise their kids to follow the way of Jesus, you'll be long gone. And so it's going to outlive you." And so to those of you who are supporting this ministry, you're part of that. You're bringing hope and help, not just to this generation, but to generations to come until Jesus returns. And I want to live my life like that could be today. I believe we are in the last days, but we don't know when he's coming back. And so we need to be busy serving the Lord, as Jesus said, while it is yet day, because night is coming when no man can work.
Yeah. Well said. And yeah, if you're interested at all in giving, there's a link in the show notes you can give. It's really helpful. If even it's $5 a month, if this podcast has blessed you at all, like $5 a month, $10 a month, $30 a month, wherever it is, it's always helpful. Monthly is also very helpful for us. And we hope to continue to be able to give you this podcast without any advertisements or anything like that. That's our hope. We'd like to be able to do that because we want to be able to continue to just allow the main thing to be the main thing. So thank you for everyone supporting. There's a link in the show notes. And also just to let you know, we actually have a lot of things in the hopper that we're working through right now. Really exciting things. We're going to be launching Intentional Motherhood with the big retreat that's happening here in Bend. There's going to be a lot more resources for that. Phil and I are working on some intentional fatherhood stuff, which is exciting. And then also we have some things around the idea of emotional health, which I'm so excited to talk with everyone about soon in the future. But these are just like some of the things that you are helping put into the world. And also we're going to be hopefully moving and crossing our fingers on this, but hopefully moving to video podcast soon so you can actually intake all this on YouTube and other places like that. But honestly, generosity through you is what helps that happen. So thank you. And we appreciate it greatly. Last week, the ladies took over the podcast, which was epic. And Phil and I, just so happened that we were actually next on the list. And so here we are. But Phil and I, as we've had this conversation, you and I, Phil, for a couple weeks now, we were speaking together and this topic came up. And you know, I'd shared with you this verse that I came across and you quickly jumped onto it and was like, "Yes, I love that verse," but also you had so much to say on it. And so what we wanted to do today was actually talk about this concept of consecration. And I know that's like a word that not everybody's using all the time, but it is such an important word, concept, and reality to your life as an individual, as a couple, and it has insane blessing and fruit connected to it. It also has a lot of pain can hurt if you don't live in this type of way. And so what Phil and I wanted to do is obviously talk to fathers because we are fathers, but also talk to families and marriages specifically to talk about this idea of consecration. So before we get into it, would you like me to share the verse or would you like to share the verse?
I want you to share the verse.
Okay.
Because you've already got your Bible open to it.
I do. So it's actually on my iPad, but but there's another verse open in my Bible here. but trying to be full of integrity here. Joshua 3:5, just a wonderful verse. It says, Joshua told the people, if you remember the Old Testament story, Joshua takes over, is now given this mantle of responsibility. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And what I love about that idea and that reality is that consecration has blessing for you, for your family, for your generations woven into it. And it's a beautiful, beautiful gift that you can give not only yourself, but your family. And in the Old Testament, if you kind of remember this, if you've read the Old Testament, there was three essential things that actually made up this idea of consecration for priests specifically. There was a cleansing involved. So they were to be cleansed, you know, outwardly, inwardly, there was a cleansing element. Secondly, there was a sacrificial element. So sacrificing maybe an animal at that moment, but as it relates to you and me now, thinking of practical sacrificial things in our life, things we give up for the good of our life, our marriage, our family. And then thirdly, the third thing here was actually dedication. It's you see a dedication, somebody saying, I'm going to give and dedicate my life to this cause or this purpose. So it's that trifecta, cleansing, sacrifice, and dedication that make up this idea of consecration. And so I want to start talking about this today. So Phil, first initial thoughts before we kind of go through some of the details of consecration.
Well, I think that God wants to use every father for his glory and every mother. And when you just think of your children, if you want them to grow up to be passionate Jesus followers, well, you need to not just tell them you should be a passionate Jesus follower.
Yeah.
You need to show them what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that's going to include a daily walk with God, which is going to include a daily time of opening up your heart before God is, you know, Psalm 39. See if there be any hurtful or wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. It's a confession of everything that's not of God. And then so that the Holy Spirit can flow through us more powerfully. That a consecrated life is a holy life. And the word, you know, holiness is to be, we're set apart. And Jesus is a perfect example. He always, I love in the Gospel of John, he said, I always do the things that are pleasing to my Father. And he was tempted, Hebrews says, in every way, just like we are, only without sin. He never sinned. And so he understands this daily walk we have. And when we walk in the light and bring our junk, our stuff, our sin into the light, and realize that Jesus died for it, and yet we turn from it because we want to live a consecrated life, then I think blessings can flow to our children because the Holy Spirit can flow through us. You know, when we don't do that, we literally clog up the river. You know, we grieve the Holy Spirit, and if we continue down that path, we can eventually quench the Holy Spirit. You know, we talk about wanting more of God's Spirit, and we do, but what I've learned is you get more of God's Spirit by surrendering more of yourself. In other words, once you receive Jesus Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. And it's when we're living these consecrated life that the Holy Spirit has reign to flow through us.
Well, you know? And I want to say that it's really important to highlight how important this is now. And I want to be really careful not to at all fall on the line of legalism at all. But this isn't like legalism. This is just like cause and effect. These are the realities of how God has set up our world, that when we live in certain ways, there are certain blessings and vice versa. Also, I think it's really important to say how hard that is to do in a time and a day and age right now. And some of the things I really do want to focus on, Phil, with you and I today, is I want to talk about not only how hard that is now with unlimited access to all sorts of stuff that can completely destroy our minds, our hearts, our souls, but also just how socially acceptable and common it is now. It doesn't feel like you have a strong support team anymore to live a consecrated life. Like there's not a lot of people that are living that way, meaning that maybe are in your circle. Maybe, of course, we know that there are, but maybe you're not connected to them per se. And I just want to acknowledge how challenging it is as a man, as a human, as an adult, to live a consecrated life. Now, it's not impossible, but I do think there are some added challenges these days. And I want to talk about how we can actually work through some of that.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, all these scriptures are running through my mind right now.
Yes.
But there's one where it says, his commandments are not burdensome. In other words, when people think, oh, you know, it's legalism if I actually don't watch that or don't do that or don't toy around with that, I'm not going to be happy inside. No, you're going to be filled with joy. His commandments are joyful. And, you know, in John 15, where Jesus says, you know, in John, where he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I used to read that. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's not that at all. It's just, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments because they're for your good. And he actually says here, John 15:10, which is all of right after, abide in me, apart from me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. Then he says, if you keep my commandments, and that's a consecrated life, is commandments are for our good. You will abide in my love. And then he's the example. He says, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy, Jesus was the most joyful person. Mm-hmm. He was anointed with the oil of gladness, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. So when we walk in the light, as 1 John chapter 1, 5 says, God is light, in him there's no darkness at all. When we walk in that light, there's a joy, there's an attractiveness to us because it's the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. And so consecration to me is like, wow, God wants to use me. That's an awesome privilege. Like, you know, if you take that verse in context, it was right before they crossed the Jordan and entered the promised land. Mm-hmm. So they'd already seen the Red Sea parted, and he's saying, okay, you need to get your life clean and set apart because you're about to see miracles. Mm-hmm. So the Jordan dries up, they walk through, and he wants them to remember that. So they set up memorial stones. I want you to remember that you walked across this river on dry ground, and now I'm about to knock down the walls of Jericho. Mm-hmm. You're going to march around it. You know, I'm going to blow some trumpets, and the wall's going to fall down. So get ready, consecrate yourselves, because I'm going to do some miraculous things through me. I feel like every father needs to be consecrated before God so that God can do these wondrous things in and through him, and every mother as well, too. You're starting with your own kids. It's the beginning of a joyful usability. You know? It's not legalism. It's like, wow.
Well, these are essentials. Because obviously with what we get to do, we get asked a lot of questions of like, well, you know, what do you think is a really important or foundational thing for me to know? Especially, I love this with all my business buddies. They're like, give me the quick version to formation. I just want to know, I can 5 minutes a day, you know, that everyone's trying to life hack everything. And there's certain things like consecration that you can't life hack. You have to sit in it. You have to be in it. You have to make the choice. But I want to highlight three reasons that it's often what holds us back from consecration. Can I mention those real quick, Phil?
Yeah, yeah.
I think those three things are really helpful. And there's three things that I know I've been able to identify that hold me back from and hold many back from actually living in consecration. The first is usually compromise. So there is that level of like, well, and this doesn't have to be massively moral. It's usually small compromises. It's, I probably shouldn't see that on social media, but it's not that big of a deal. Or I probably shouldn't watch that, but it's not that big of a deal. Or I probably shouldn't talk with this coworker this way, but it's not that big of a deal. Or I had one extra drink. It's not that big of a deal, right? Like it's slow. It's usually subtle, but compromise often holds us back. I see that so often. And then the second thing is carelessness. And carelessness not meaning like you don't care, but like that you are... that you know that if you do this thing, it probably won't be good, but you're like, maybe it won't be that bad. You're kind of just lazy towards the stuff that you already know is not good for you, and stuff that you already know is compromised. It's that first one. And so you kind of just go, well, you know, I understand. I probably shouldn't do that, but it's really not that big of a deal. I don't think it's impacting me that greatly. So carelessness. And then the third one, and it's a C, and it's cowardice, or another way to say it is fear. When I told Elizabeth cowardice, she's like, that feels shame filled. And I was like, well, probably a little, but mostly let's say fear. So cowardice,
yeah,
or fear. We're fearful. Sometimes we're scared to actually uproot the habits that we have found to cope with our reality. So let's also talk about how hard life is, and that there's certain things that you've maybe landed on to cope with your reality, your pain, your being an adult, being stressed, all of that stuff, that honestly are not helping you live a consecrated life. They are actually doing the opposite. And I'd say this is a super important thing to say to dads and fathers that are listening to this. Compromise and carelessness and cowardice will destroy you. And if you find things to bring yourself comfort and to soothe you that are leading away from consecration, it's only going to be this cyclical effect of pain and more pain and more pain and more pain. Because when we compromise, it brings in sin, it brings in pain. When we're careless, same, and the same with fear. And so I just want to highlight, these are things that often hold me back, hold anyone back from living a consecrated life. When we were speaking, Phil, I don't know if I told you this, but so this is part of a message that you and I gave together, which was fun. And this was a whole point, the idea of consecration. And when a couple days after we spoke at this spot, this guy found my number and he had texted me and he gave me a really beautiful long text. Now, I don't expect anybody hearing this idea of consecration to be an exciting one. I don't feel like people are hearing this going, oh, I'm so elated. This is about holiness over the more than like, oh, this feels good to do. It's hard to do, but it's so good. And so he sends me like a very long text. And he basically just said that he had decided to make some decisions. And basically he said, I deleted the last remaining social media platform that was a gateway into temptation. He deleted some different ESPN apps and subscriptions that were just consuming embarrassingly amounts of time for him. And he basically, you know, let me know, which was so encouraging to hear, that he had found more joy in a day of trying to live in consecration than he had through any of those mediums for months and months and months and months on end. And so anyway, from his words, not mine, I am so grateful that I was able to hear that, because I know I experienced that. And so I just want to even share, as everyone's listening, this is a gift to you. It's mm-hmm. a gift to yourself. And I think it's a huge benefit. I know it's a huge benefit to your wife, to your kids.
We have a new offering for you. If you would like to receive daily or weekly text messages and encouragement around parenting, marriage, with prayers and scriptures, click the link in the show notes and we would love to send those to you. Can't wait to connect more with you.
You know, I'm thinking about compromise. So for your first hindrance,
yep.
I mean, that's huge. In the American church, for sure, and you know, we're to be in this world, but not of this world, and that means we don't have the same values because we're actually strangers and aliens. This isn't our permanent home. We're going to be with the Lord forever, and we're here to bring Jesus to a hurting world. And the emptiness that people are experiencing, ultimately, that hole will be filled when through Jesus they're reconnected to the God who made them and loves them. And so, you know, Satan's going to come against this idea of being all in. So, like the phrase that we use a lot is an all in Jesus follower.
Yes,
no compromise. You know, like being saved in the Jesus movement. You know, Keith Green, he was all about it. He was a singing prophet. You know, in his biography, I think it's called No Compromise, and he was like sold out. You know, it's like, are you? And this reminds me, Brooke and I just flew all the way to Oklahoma, to Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and we had a great time with this great group of people, this great church there. But we're driving through this town. What's the population? Like 50,000 or something?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Anyway, so we're driving down the street and there are these three huge tanks.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And we didn't even know what was in them. We found later they were water tanks. And on one it said hot, and then the one on the right it said cold, and the one in the middle it said warm.
Yeah.
And we thought, well, that's weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
Well, so... But as I was praying that morning before we spoke, before I saw these tanks, I thought of Jesus' words in Revelation, because I'm reading through Revelation right now. And he said this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. I mean, obviously, he hopes we're hot, not cold. But because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. And he's talking about you're self-sufficient. You think you're fine without me, because he goes on, you say I'm rich and I become wealthy and I don't need anything. He's talking about you need me.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, you need me. And so I actually shared that with the church. I said, then I saw your tanks and they said that it is water in there. And somebody has a prank spray painted hot, warm, and cold on him, but the whole city knew about it, so they made him look really nice. And so, but I'm saying, really, this is the words of Jesus in Revelation. Mm-hmm. He's writing this to this church of Laodicea. Like, don't be lukewarm in your walk with God. Don't live a life of compromise. Mm-hmm. It's like when you sip coffee, like my coffee right here, it's lukewarm. I don't even want to drink it anymore.
What's amazing, though, is you will heat that up four more times a day and still drink it.
No, it starts being terrible. But
no, your like, commitment who wants is to amazing. Drink
lukewarm water or lukewarm
Hold
coffee?
Hold on. Before we keep going on the serious part.
What?
This whole temperature thing in the Comer family, I found out through a camping trip this weekend with all my brothers, with John Mark, with Matthew, with Steve, that the temperature thing in the Comer household is a very real thing. That everything has to be, I mean, maybe it's connected to your godliness, but it has to be super hot. So like everyone, so John Mark, like his coffee cannot be cold. It has to be like piping hot. Or nothing.
You're not talking about the weather.
No, I'm talking about coffee.
Yes.
I'm talking about food.
Piping hot.
So
yes.
then you got Matthew, same deal. So I was asking Matthew, I was like, Matthew, do you also like temperatures of your food and temperatures of your coffee to burn you essentially? He's like, absolutely. I love it. Because I know my wife, Elizabeth, who can't speak for herself now, loves food to be hot and loves coffee to be hot. And I know the same to be true of Rebecca. So maybe it's just like your godliness is just played over. And it's like, we're extreme, we're hot or we're cold. But like, we were discovering this week and it was so funny to see all of, I was like, what happened in your household that every food temperature was like right at the top? But anyway, back to say, right.
You're talking about the brothers camping weekend.
Yes.
Which I was not invited to, but I'm not offended. Anyway.
But what I asked you, I said, okay, so I said this to you. I said, hey, if we invited you, would you come? You said, probably not. So I said, that's
only if I could get a hotel room.
No.
No, but you know, not weather. I don't like piping hot weather.
No, piping
I grew up
hot,
in the Bay Area.
Food.
I was totally spoiled. 70 degrees every day, 30 minutes from the beach.
Okay. Yes, you did.
I'm spoiled forever. But I really feel like Jesus is looking for those who live a life of no compromise, who are consecrated to him. This is all over the Bible. It's not just a New Testament thing. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord, we quote this periodically on this podcast. This is one of our favorite verses, one of mine, I think Brooks too. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose hearts are completely his, not half his.
Yeah.
And it's like a lighthouse, the eyes of the Lord. You know, I mean, God doesn't have eyes, he's spirit, but he has spirit eyes. If you imagine a lighthouse and the beam is going around and around and around, and God's looking for a father, he's looking for a mother whose heart is completely his. And when he finds that person, he says, I will strongly support him. Hmm. I will strongly support her. There'll be an undergirding of your life, and my blessing will flow through you to your kids. And so this is so important, consecration, being a holy man, being a holy woman. There's a quote, an old Scottish preacher, according to your holiness, so shall be your success.
Oh.
A holy man, and I would add a holy woman, is an awesome weapon in the hand of God. And you're going to battle for your kids because it's full on spiritual warfare. Satan is going after the family. He's going after children right now. And you need to be a holy man of prayer, a holy woman of God who's praying, and you can be a weapon in God's hands. And this idea of consecration, it's separation. Like, I'm separated for God's service. Jesus saved me. He transferred me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And he wants to use me to be this loving father, this loving mother to my kids. And in order to do that, man, I'm going to have to say no to a lot of junk and yes to a lot of good things. And it's going to get down to the practical level.
Oh, like it has to be.
Like, what do you do when you're watching a movie and something inappropriate comes on.
And what are you going to allow before?
I'm just going to look at that for a while and then it'll be all right. Well, or am I going to say, no, I'm a godly man. I don't watch that. I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't feast on it. I run from it or whatever.
Yeah, everything you're saying, I'm sorry to keep like trying to talk.
It's okay.
I'm just like, I just love, really resonate with what you're saying. You know, I was reminded, you know, when we talk about the idea of how to live a consecrated life, I think there's a couple elements that I've found indispensable. And I will say this, it's having a team of people that know you all the way through. And it's having a person or people that you confess to regularly. And when I say confession, I mean confession. I mean stuff that you're thinking, stuff that you have said, stuff that you have done, and people that are mature enough to absorb that and handle it with maturity, you know, having that trust built. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think even as a man, if you can have at least one person that's not your spouse, I think this is important, that you can talk with and talk to openly about everything. And obviously your spouse as well, but like obviously when it comes to things like purity or things like lust, sometimes that can be really, it's nuanced. But I mean, having a person that you can just talk to about everything, what a huge gift. And so I think that has been a huge piece in my own life of just knowing like, hey, I have a few people, they know who they are, I know who they are. And I can talk to them about anything. And the face I get and the response I get isn't, how could you? How dare you? It's love. It's empathy. It's accountability. It's, hey, let's actually, how can I help you in this particular area? Or how can I, or whatever it is, like, how can I be more supportive to you in that area? And I'm saying like that team of people around me has been a huge gift in helping me live a consecrated life and helping me live in a way that's above reproach, because I know that in a month or in a couple of weeks or next year, I'm going to sit down with the same group of people and they're going to ask me real questions. And I can lie if I want. They know I could lie. I know I could lie, but only to my detriment. And I know that I can be honest with them. Anyway, so I think as a man, as a woman, like having a space where you can just be honest about what you're feeling is huge. And I think therapy is important, sure, but I think having a group of people that you're doing life with that are in your life is a really important piece to live a consecrated life. You need help is maybe a different way to say it.
Yeah. Hey, you know, this idea of choosing, you know, it's there's a no and a yes. You know, when we say no to something, we're saying yes to him. Mm-hmm. You know, in Revelation, the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, where Jesus said, "Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to his work." And Jesus is like, he saves us from all our sin and he comes to live in us by the person of his Spirit, and he wants to use us. And then if we respond to that and we live a life of consecration, then we become useful and usable as a father, as a mother, as a person. Then in the end, he rewards us for it. It's like it's a really good deal, but it's involved with daily choices, like not to compromise. And we're not going to do it perfectly, but when we catch ourselves, that's where repentance comes in. But Revelation 22:11, let the one who is holy still keep himself holy. So that's the partnership. That's our responsibility, you know. Without him, I can't. Without me, he won't, right? So I need his power to live a consecrated life. I can't do it just with my own willpower. Mm-hmm. I need the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
But at the same time, I have to choose to receive his power and his help and do my side of it. Let him who is holy still keep himself holy. So those who are walking with God and rejecting sin and not living a compromised life, keep at it and keep at it day in and day out and day in and day out. And think about compromise. You know, nobody wakes up one day and says, I'm going to go blow up my life. You know,
it's
a bunch of little decisions that they get comfortable with, and then they make a few more and they go a little further and a little further. And sometimes you see somebody and sometimes they're older, like, what was he thinking?
Yeah.
But if you get underneath it, you find out that it started a long time ago. And so I think it's acts of obedience on a daily basis of walking with him, not because we have to, but because we get to, and then we receive so much.
I think a question that comes up, I know for me often, not even for me, but like for people, like obviously we know the holiness element, but outside of that, like, what if I don't consecrate myself? What does that do to my family? And what you don't deal with in your own life, in your own patterns, in your own behaviors, in your own addictions, your children will. They will deal with them. And what addictions you don't address, they become their demise. And what you deem is acceptable because of your unwillingness to acknowledge it becomes a trap for their future. And I think we have to remember that even as dads, we as humans, as parents especially, but fathers, I'm speaking to you specifically, you have this beautiful gift, but also responsibility to stop sin and release blessing for your kids. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, it helps me to view it that way sometimes, because I realize, like, well, I am actually protecting my kids, my future relationship, their future relationships, by deciding some of these things. And I can't go into all of it, but there's a couple things that come to mind. And I talk to countless couples at times where something just pops up and it's a surprise and someone's been living a double life, right? Mm-hmm. And when you don't live a consecrated life, it's very easy to live a double life because it's hard to live in that fracture. You have to figure it out. So you end up fracturing yourself. And so, I know I came up and grew up in a home that had a lot of secret living. And I have to say, as a person who's been affected by it, can I just tell you and plead with you, live a life that's holy, mm-hmm. because it is the best gift or one of the worst experiences you could give your family. And I'm even thinking of a story just recently that this couple I talked to, and just found out that he has all this other stuff going on. He has all these multiple addictions, and it's just such a surprise. And to see the destruction of a double life, and to watch this man in the pain that he's in specifically, and to see the destruction it's causing, and for me to have experienced that personally in the sense of being affected by others who have lived differently, I cannot tell you how tragic it is. And I wish sometimes people could see some of that stuff I get to see, simply because I think it's really motivating. I think if you can see a man who's been broken by the lack of consecration in his life and saying, okay, we'll compromise. I'm a little careless. I'm a little cowardice, whatever. If you could see the destruction that it really causes throughout their whole life, but also in that moment of sadness and the brokenness that comes, it is a hugely motivating thing to live a life set apart for Jesus, like you're talking about, Phil. I mean, holiness, like living with the burden of guilt and shame all the time, you know how wearing that is, how exhausting that is. So anyway, I just appeal to those listening, like, there's so much on the line for not living a consecrated life. And I would just beg you to think about it. If you're enjoying this content and you want to go deeper, we have an amazing resource that we want to tell you about. It's the Intentional Film Series, Raising Passionate Jesus Followers. Now, this is an incredible tool for you for spiritual formation in the family. And we created this film series to help parents in their God-given task to raise and disciple their own children. Now, our hope is that we're able to help you and give you some of the tools that I know we so desperately need, as we're in the process of raising our kids, and Phil and Diane have actually raised their kids. This is a 9-session film series on the process of what raising a passionate Jesus follower actually looks like. There's some workable solutions in here. There's a bunch of wisdom from the scriptures, and there's a bunch of practical help in your journey as you are raising your children. We cover all sorts of things like parental roles, goals versus values. What is discipline versus punishment? How do I create a heart of obedience in my child where they actually want to obey? What does a heart of self-control look like? Or how do I even help my child in the process of character development? We cover that and so many more things. You can use this film series in a variety of ways. You can use it at your home, preferably with your spouse if that's applicable, with a group of friends or in your community, or even through your local church. All you need to do is head over to our website, intentionalparents.org, click on film series, and then follow the prompts. We have a bunch of other resources there that you can check out, but we do pray that this blesses you in your pursuit of raising passionate Jesus followers.
Let me read a couple of scriptures.
Yeah.
Oh, the scriptures just pop it into my mind.
Well, read them.
Because it's all over the Bible. But, you know, I kind of alluded to 1 John earlier, but I just read 1 John, so it's kind of in my head. And this is 1 John 1, beginning of verse 5. This is the message we've heard from him, from Jesus, and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, that's compromise. That's like,
yep,
you know, living this double life. We lie and do not practice the truth. But here's the beauty. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
Yes.
And then it immediately says, if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. We're all sinners. If we confess our sins, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's like he already knows what we're doing and what we're thinking, and he even knows our thoughts. Mm-hmm. Psalm 139, you've scrutinized my thoughts from my, you know, my rising up and my, yes. He knows everything. And he's not hoping to zap you. He's ready to forgive you. But then I thought of Proverbs 28 as well, where it says, if we conceal our sins, we will not prosper. But if we, he who confesses and forsakes them finds compassion. Mm. So when we come clean, when we live a life of no compromise, and when we walk in the light, not only are we cleansed from our sin, but we prosper and we receive mercy from God and usability, and beautiful things follow me. You know, and the closer you get to the Lord, sometimes the more you see things in your life that maybe you didn't realize are still not pleasing to him. So this is like an ongoing thing.
Yes.
As you get closer and closer to the Lord, hopefully you should be more easily convicted and more sensitive to things that aren't the way you speak to your wife, the way your tone of voice, these kinds of things, because you're becoming more like him. You know, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, he said to the Corinthians, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. That's
high, he goes,
just,
yes.
I'm imitating Christ, so just watch. In the word there in Greek, it's mimic, you know, like yeah. Mimic me. Yeah. I'm mimicking Christ. He was so close to the Lord, so sold out, so no double life going on,
yes.
That he was saying, just kind of watch how I live my life and follow me because I'm that close to Christ. I think that's what consecration is.
I agree. Yeah. And I think for, as you're talking about all this, I think most people are listening. I know I'm listening and going, yes, I agree. I totally agree. And it's actually that most men I meet and most people I meet, they don't usually struggle with the idea of being a disciple of Jesus. They usually struggle to commit to all of the teachings of Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's that this is an area for a lot of people that it's very easy to say, well, I do believe Jesus's teachings, but it's just kind of hard. I receive so much comfort from this. So it's kind of okay. There's that compromise piece again. And so I just encourage you, what if you were to able, you know, and Phil and I, let me just be really clear. We're not perfect in this arena by any means. No. Why are we talking about this? Because we know the struggle. We know the reality of how hard it is to live a life of consecration.
Well, I just turned 73, but I've asked my wife's forgiveness multiple times in the last week.
That makes so, two of us.
Yeah, I haven't arrived.
No, none of us have. And yeah. I think that is that's the reality of this. But I think to commit to all of it, what if you were to say yes to the way of Jesus? You know, all of us, if we're being honest, we know there's some areas that God's already communicated. Hey, you need to probably push this out of your life for your own health and good. So can I just invite you, even in a moment, like even just pause the podcast for a second and ask the Spirit, is there anything in my life that you have already highlighted or that you want to highlight that just needs to be out of my life so that I can make mm-hmm. this easier on myself to walk with you, really? And here's what I know from the Holy Spirit. When we ask questions like that, he's really quick to want to help us with that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. And so I just really encourage you, ask. And then it's not a shame-filled thing. I think it's really important to know, like, if there's something that you've allowed into your life that has been destructive, it's okay to ask for forgiveness. It's okay to say, yep, I did that wrong and I need accountability and I need to push this away. And also, going off on this, but so many people that I also get to connect with talk about the spiritual end, but they don't talk about the practical end, meaning that if you, for example, are having a hard time with pornography and you don't have locks on your devices, would you help yourself out by having all the different things that you can use? Screen Time's a great one if you use Apple products. There's a lot of other things out there, but like, don't make it harder on yourself by not actually using the devices. Make it challenging to sin. That's a really helpful thing. I know someone told me a long time ago, not just about devices, but in general, like, make it, set your life up so that it's hard to sin. I think of things like, I can't spend money without it, everybody knowing, like all my bank accounts are connected to, Elizabeth can see all of them. I have an intentional card, but you, Phil, and other people see anything that's on the card. Mm-hmm. I literally can't spend money without people knowing where it's at. Mm-hmm. I've wanted to set myself up in a way to where it's like, I can't, you know, get away with these types of things. It's mm-hmm. challenging for me to sin in those ways. And so I think as an idea, that's a part of living a life of consecration, that we make it challenging to fall into these pieces of sin. So well, yeah, be practical.
Said, you said compromise, carelessness. You're not being careless. You're I'm trying being not careful.
To be. Yeah, trying to be. Yeah.
You know, and we haven't really touched about that, but that's what I see. I see you're not being careless about, yeah, you know, maybe I'll be consecrated once in a while.
You know, maybe I'm gonna I'll be fall careful into consecration.
To do everything I can to live a consecrated life.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, maybe you're going to talk about fear, but... you know, and now with the internet at your fingertips and a phone,
sure,
that's a powerful tool for good or evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, way before there was, you know, iPhones, I was traveling a lot. You've heard me tell the story before.
Yes, I love this story. Yeah, tell it.
So I started doing a bunch of stuff in England with Luis Palau, and I loved all those times going to cities and seeing people come. We were staying in hotels. And in England, it's like when I was, I'm talking late 90s here into 2000, there's a whole nother line of when it comes to sexual stuff and nudity and stuff. Mm-hmm. It was like further, more liberal than America. So I would go into these hotel rooms, you know, and even in America, there's all kinds of pornography on the hotel room, but you had to rent a movie. So, but you come in and like it's right there on the TV, right? And so I'm, you know, thousands of miles away from home and I just, it's sitting right there as a temptation, right? So what I learned is the safest thing for me to do was to just unplug the TV. Like, then I don't have to worry about if I'm going to turn it on or be tempted.
Yeah.
I just won't turn it on.
Yeah.
And I did it because of my own weakness, because as a non-Christian, I never got into drugs or alcohol. And sexual sin was an area I got into. As a non-believer and even as a new Christian before I was walking with the Lord.
Mm.
And so I made it. And I remember I was in this one hotel and I forget what city it was in. And so it walked in and maybe you've seen this before. You walk into some hotels and the TV is actually on.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the hotel website. And, and this one, they would communicate with you. It's how you paid your bill. And so I'd unplugged it. So they called my room and said, Mr. Comer, we're trying to communicate with you, but you're apparently we're unable to because... And I said, that's because I unplugged your TV. And they go, why'd you do that? And I said, well, there's stuff on there that I think shouldn't be on there. You know, it's like I wasn't like, you know, slamming him. I was just saying, but it reminds me of that song, Refiner's Fire, you know, purify my heart.
Yeah.
Let me be as gold and precious silver.
Yeah, that and song then, still slaps you know, hard.
What's that?
The song still slaps hard.
I choose to be
there you go.
Holy, set apart for you, Lord. That's a consecration.
That's
set apart.
Yeah.
I choose to be holy. Why? Set apart for you, my master. So if he's your master.
Oh, yes, in this last part.
Ready to do your will.
Yeah. That's it.
That's it. It's a choice. Holiness is a choice.
Yes.
Consecration is a choice. And the Spirit is right there. You know, as soon as we take that little tiny baby step in any area.
Yeah.
Towards Him.
Well, and our world is using all these other words to try to define consecration. But I would just say, if you're a person that likes life hacks and you like vision and you like, oh, I'm trying to, you know... manifest my life. Can I just encourage you? Use a biblical word, consecrate your life. Like, you want the best life hack? Like, consecrate your life. Say, I'm going to commit my life to Jesus and I'm going to put others around me that help me do it. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask the Spirit to help. I think that's a really big part of the process. And as men, I want to be careful to operate always in the space of hope and not shame. Men that are listening and even wives that are listening that are knowing that their husbands are, they're going to send this to their husband. You're not bad. You've made bad choices. Sure. We all have. And there's consequences for those bad choices. We know that, but you know, this concept of shame is so important to know that you're not bad. You made a bad choice. Ask for forgiveness, seek reconciliation. And move on. Don't be trapped by the foolishness that you can never tell anybody and you can never actually be free. You absolutely can. It doesn't mean it's going to be super easy, but there's always hope. And Jesus is so willing to just be ready to give all of that. So, yeah. And the last thing, you know, the cowardice or the fear, something that keeps us from there, just to mention this before we're done, is to just say that's the fear is something that the enemy uses as a tool to keep us in the dark. You know, we know that, and that's mm-hmm. a very real thing. And so I promise you that whatever you are working through that you haven't told people, it will be hard and it will be scary, but I almost guarantee you that their response won't be as bad as you think it is, or as bad as it is in your head. Now, if you're in, this all depends on like what you're actually, if you are hiding something. But I just want to say, like, in my experience, anytime I've been really honest about what I'm struggling with to anybody that actually knows me, that cares, that loves me, they are always far more gracious than I assumed they would be, and far more loving than I expected them to be. Far more even understanding, not being dishonest about the pain that that might even cause them or other people, but a lot of love and care. And so, mm-hmm. I just encourage you, the life of consecration, although challenging, there's just so much good and peace of mind and gift that God gives to you and your family through it. And I'm not sitting again on this side of like, oh, I figured all this out. I'm sitting on the side of like, I'm trying to live into this because I see the fruit. I see the reward. I see the blessing. I see the peace of mm-hmm. mind. It's such a gift. And there's just nothing like walking with Jesus.
You know, I think like with forgiveness, when we choose to forgive someone who's mm-hmm. really hurt us, and yeah. we find when we can truly do it that we're set free.
Oh, yeah.
I think that. We think, well, this habit, this thing, I mean, it's pleasurable or I'm enjoying it. Whatever. And, you know, I kind of don't want to give it up. But when you actually are able with God's help to live a consecrated life and give that particular thing up, you experience a freedom.
Yes.
Because Jesus said, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. There's like this yes. beautiful freedom yes. and joy in the light that, and it just empowers you to continue to pursue him, you know?
Yes.
So... Yeah, I'm glad we got to talk about this today. I have another old hymn.
Yeah, why don't you close us with that?
Could it be a prayer?
Make it a prayer. I was actually going to ask you to pray, so that's even perfect.
Do you want me to say it or sing it?
That's up to you. It might, maybe just say it. Just pray it. Yeah, pray it in.
Yeah, it's interesting. When I thought of this hymn this morning, I think
okay.
when we were walking Trooper or something. No, I was on a bike ride this morning.
Okay.
Without
the girls.
Two littles. I take the girls with me a lot.
Those girls,
the littles,
they love
the
that
five
bike
and 7 year old. But today I did it by myself. Thinking, and as I was praying and thinking about this, I thought of this old hymn, which I used to lead.
What's it called?
Take My Life and Let It Be.
Okay.
Interesting, the one above it, is I've got a hymnal here. Inspiring Hymns, Las Gatos Christian Church. It's green.
That
the
green
one above
is
it
enough.
Is Take Time to Be Holy.
Hmm.
Speak oft with your Lord, abide in him always and feed on his word. But that's not the one I want to quote. Right below it is take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, here's a few ways that you can partner with us in this ministry. First is to give. Intentional Parents is a nonprofit, and we rely on the generous giving of our partners. So please head over to our website, intentionalparents.org/give, if you would like to become one of our partners through giving. Second is to share it. If this has at all been helpful to you, we encourage you to share it with your friends, your family, and those that you know would be blessed by it. Third is to follow us on social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find us on Instagram at intentional_parents. And lastly, if you would head over to iTunes, if you enjoyed today's episode, and leave a review on iTunes, this helps us bring more hope, help, and healing for families.